thought of, and it happens, how does the board and the CEO come to an agreement of how to resolve that? Because he has his marching orders based on what we have in these governing documents, and they may not be, at that particular moment in time, what a single or all the communities may want out of the situation. So how do you address that?
They're two of not aligned, did you say, Bob?
Yeah. How do you address that? How do you, because it puts him in a bind, because it's like the city of Ketchikan and everybody else, there's some things you just have, it's by ordinance and you have to do it. So how do you change to get the right results that you're looking for? How do you get there?
So first of all, I think there's the first element of that is, first of all, identifying there's an issue to begin with. So there's some things that go on in the member communities that SEPA isn't necessarily tracking. Let's just say budgets and your capital project schedule for 10, 20 years out, whatever. We don't track that stuff. So there's a communication that's got to happen among all of the members' utilities and SEPA when there are potential things that you feel are important in your member utility that SEPA perhaps needs to be aligned with in some way, shape, or form. And once something's identified, whether it's like an event or something like that, that's a stimulus for it, or if it's a planning element, then I think we've learned from past experience that probably the most prudent thing is to call a special meeting and bring the board together, have a conversation about it, and see if we can find some common ground there or some direction.
Yeah, go back to the event that Bob's talking about. Is that we all have air quality standards we have to meet. We run generators. If we have to shut those generators off and run power, sometimes that, or vice, where we don't get power from SEPA, or they want to provide us power, but yet those generators, you know, are needed to be run. Whatever the point being is that there's a conflict there. And when you go back to Bob's point on power sales agreement, is that it says you must buy the power as a community. And so there is a rub there at times. How do we, I'm trying to say the same thing I think Bob is about, how do we take care of that rub that takes place? Because one is in conflict with the other. And not really in looking at changing the power sales agreement, but how do you deal with that issue?
I think for me it's sort of a coordination. I don't want to beat this dead horse, but just okay, right, take one more swat.
Yeah,
at
yeah,
here we go.
Get on your horse.
The example I give is that we had a situation where we had to do some diesel displacement through the winter, and what we really needed was to be just directed to go to your diesels, because if we needed that sort of overarching organizing principle, because if we had just gone to our diesels, and Petersburg doesn't go to its diesels, we're now burning diesel and they're on hydro, they're sucking the resource, we're offsetting the resource. So you need that kind of unified. Now, Trey, who wrote, we say we should call Petersburg, but we're compelled to buy your power, so we almost sort of need that overreaching sort of coordination. And that's where I think a part of that working with the community. And we do it because you have these planning opportunities that are really concerned. But I think it might be a little bit better to have some more guidance on how we manage that.
I also think, to Trey's point,
that
working through your
your operational plans. And then that helps inform the decisions.
Yeah, and I'll go one
more in concert.
Yeah, I'll go one step farther in what Trey was saying, that's a two-way street. And that we have a responsibility that in some cases he doesn't believe, and I think I agree, is that we have fulfilled, you know, we need to make some changes in how we do business.
I'm sure you do.
We need to make some changes, Steve, in how we do business.
As a member of utilities,
yeah.
Making sure that we have some triggers or some defined obligations in terms of communicating.
So I will say one thing that from recent board changes help is we do have a couple of folks that are currently on the board that are in our Tuesday call. And I think there have been times when there's maybe only been one or something like that. And that's that's a kind of an important link to a feedback loop on what we're doing on the day-to-day business. And back to identifying problems, there's always this challenge, and it's mostly incumbent upon the CEO to figure out where those lines fall. You know, is the topic up here, or is it down in the day-to-day business? And at what point does day-to-day business actually fluff back up to the top up here? So that's a judgment call. You know, you're not necessarily always going to get it right, but I think from at least from past experience, I think I think we recognize better now. It's good to engage the entire board earlier in that process, and then just keep the people informed. I think good communication solves a lot of that, for the most part.
So I guess that's another thing that's in regard to this. How do we communicate those needs when we do have a problem to resolve? Is it individual board members going directly to Trey, or is it individual board members going through the chair? Or what should be the protocol on that?
So, just from my perspective, I prefer to hear from the board member first and talk through it and see if there's an easy solution. I'd like to handle things at the lowest possible level that we can. And then, you know, there's certain mechanisms to call a special board meeting. It takes, it takes three member utilities or the board chair to initiate that. Then you elevate that up to that level. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those gray areas that you're never going to have a black and white answer to. It's a judgment call, and you just have to go by experience. And like I said before, the experience shows us that the earlier we can engage the whole board on some of those issues that may rise to a bigger issue, the better off we go.
Okay.
I would suggest ideally, actually, it is our utility staff that are bringing this up to the SEPA staff initially, and there's more informed decision making, like I said, at the operational plan level. And then if Trey or any of his staff have a concern that they think needs to be elevated, similarly on our member utility side, if our staff feels like SEPA may not be as responsive, then they come to us potentially as a board member, and we then, as a board member, direct it to Trey and say, hey, we think we're having a disconnect here. How do we elevate this for some further discussion? And that's incumbent upon us taking up my SEPA hat, putting on my borough manager hat. That's incumbent upon me making sure that our utility supervisor in Wrangell understands what his role is in terms of communicating appropriately to SEPA. And that to me is
You guys are writing a lot up there. How are we doing?
There's a lot of writing. Yeah, no, that was a great observation. At least you did a great job of skirting that line. Because it's really, you guys all have to become kind of bipolar in some regard, because you're like, I'm thinking about the muni, now I'm thinking about the GT. I'm like, So that was a really good, yeah. So
I prefer to think of it as multifaceted, not bipolar.
Yeah, sorry.
And that's the positive twist. I'm like, yeah, that was well done.
I did not do. Folks, bad facilitator. Good, yeah. Well, all right. So in terms of, here's what we've gathered. So the situation, we're trying to figure out if the alignment's the same.
We need to go back and need to go back to the organizational documents if we have to have some of this to try and figure out where we're ending up. It makes it slow in terms of situation. Governance and directions of SEPA does not align with immediate community need. That's kind of the overarching thing here. Interests are sometimes in conflict. So that's a situation, and lack of communication on a regular basis, that's a situation. So in terms of goals, try to find a way to address potential conflicts, be better about communicating on issues, keep the CEO informed of priorities, keep the board informed. And I wrote this, and how to communicate needs. Yes. That was a tough one. So in terms of proposals, so Lisa said, we need to figure out a mechanism for the CEO to raise the red flag concerning issues for discussion in the meeting. And more specifically, you mentioned that if you could work with your staff individually at your utilities to communicate directly with the utility staff and SEPA, then that would filter to Trey, and then should at some point Trey get to a point where he has to raise that flag with the board, then he would then do that. Does that sound like a reasonable approach? Mm-hmm. We all pretty good with that? Okay, great. So the objective, how do we know when we've arrived? How do we know when we have created a mechanism and that the utility staff are communicating as instructed and the board is being informed? How do we know?
No surprises.
Right, no surprises. So first thing is going to be?
No surprises.
We won't be surprised. Okay, so I'll help you guys out. So first thing is going to be that the board members that are GMs are going to go back and communicate to their utility staff that if anything comes up, it's a red flag, you need to go to SEPA staff and let them know. And then from there, SEPA staff have to know that if something gets to a point to where it needs to be raised to Trey's level of attention, then that'll be the next step. And then the third step would be, okay, does Trey need to raise the red flag with the board? And then from there, does the activity need to occur? So first would be inform staff at all utilities of this new, we're gonna start communicating them, right? And you guys will define the construct.
Well, this is actually the written development of a communication process.
Yeah.
That's objective, right?
Yeah.
That's objective, okay.
Is that
no surprise.
Sound and no surprises. All right, put it down.
Yeah, Jeremy?
I have to say that I guess I'm a little confused on what we're trying to do here, because what we're really talking about here is a function of how staff operates and communicates with the member utilities on an operational level. So if we're talking about Trey notifying the board of an emergent situation, that's really a board-Trey relationship, not a staff-Trey relationship that then comes to us. So really what I think I hear we're saying is we're just saying as a board, we're directing the CEO to keep us abreast of any emergent situations. And you'll do that via email or calling, having the chair call a special meeting.
It's not emergent situations. So, it is situations where there's potential for conflict to arise between what SEPA's guiding principles are and what the potential impact to the utilities will be. It's not necessarily an emergent situation. And the reason why the staff component is entering into this is because there was seemingly a fundamental breakdown in communication at all levels. And we need to make sure that that's being fixed throughout the organizational structure. His staff to him, us as utility members to our staff, and then between the CEO and the board, which is why the board has been discussed.
So that's where I backed up just a little bit to say that it's really the direction, in this case, to develop that communication process, whatever that is, because then that becomes the operational function. And that's the way I see it, because if I'm sitting in my seat, then I would want a board to give me that direction, what I need to do to solve the problem that the board identified. And the board's giving me direction to do something, which is we see that, develop a way to communicate with us and show it to us. And that way that would be the objective, right?
Right, and again, we're trying to create deliverables here, and this one is a little fuzzy in that it is going to the staff level, which is more operational, but in terms of a communications plan, we've gotten into it, so that's the direction, we're gonna capture it.
So the idea here is the objective is to direct staff to communicate potential conflicts. And then from there, there's the staff-to-staff communication, staff-to-CEO, CEO-to-board, and really it's for the staff level, and this would be a CEO who is going to be responsible for it, it's to create how you would like to see that and how you would envision that working, and then provide that plan for folks to review and approve or just do it and to implement as you see fit.
You're getting a lot of work.
Yeah, you're going to pick up a lot today, Trent.
I think it's...
Nothing's changed.
I think in essence, it's a pretty simple process. Identification that there is an issue that exists is the difficult element.
Sure.
That's the front end communication portion that's all parties, it's necessary to have participation from all those folks to do that. So that must be my time's up, sorry.
That's 5 minutes before break.
That may be part of it. I mean, if you're going to have like a standing group that, you know, it sounds like you guys talk pretty regularly, so, you know, maybe this is part of the conversation. Just add that to the agenda.
Yeah, and I think part of some of it, there's always been somewhat of a little disconnect from our weekly operational meeting and the things that go on the day-to-day operations to the board level. At different times, the board's had expectations to be well informed about the day-to-day business stuff, and at other times not.
Right.
So that's my challenge in trying to find that balance that works, where you're still informing the board, but really they don't need to be involved in the day-to-day business stuff. That's not really their task
right.
in life.
Right, but it's that part where it worked and where it comes up to you.
Yeah,
and then
yes, clearly.
Then to the board. Okay, all right, so who is Trey? When?
Well, it's on a case by case basis, so it's continual.
Okay.
But when would those plan be developed?
When would you have a plan?
Q1, Q2.
Well, we just told you that's the plan. You got it written up on the board.
It's not that complicated.
It's literally not that complicated. Right. The complicated component of it is the front end portion, identifying that the issue even exists. And then identifying if it fluffs to the level of bringing it to the board or not. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
The reason we do the I'll step out for a second out of the role, because the reason we do this is that of course we're identifying and we're working through to develop a process to give direction, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what comes back to you, and what we're trying to recommend is that. Sure, okay, that's going to be a situation where you have to identify, well, how do we know when there's a problem? How does a utility know? Do they know all our bylaws? Do they know all of our, do they know when that's going to be a conflict between we have to have a spending generation and we've got to be able to, you know, generate the revenue that we need to cover all of our budget for the year and all those sorts of things? How are they going to know when there's conflict in different towns and different cities and different locations? And so that would be part of the development. So potentially, And this is not where we are, but let's say for potential, you guys sit down and part of your development of the communication is that we're just going to communicate situation where we are, we're still spinning, the lake level's this, whatever you decide to talk about in those meetings. And then the city or the utility might be able to identify, wait a minute, now we might see an issue and they could bring it up and have a discussion point. And then it would be the unified determination that, oh, well, now we have a little bit of a conflict, and then where you go with that next. Mm-hmm. So that there's a process developed for you to do that in a very comfortable way so that you're not caught between, that you know how you're going to handle it. And that's what. Is that fair, Scott?
Yep. Okay. So, again, we're going to push you to give us a timeline. So say Q3.
Tell me what the deliverable is first, and then I can give you a timeline.
You said that this is the deliverable right here. You said it's
right,
all
but
here.
Now you're asking for a deliverable date.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But the deliverable really is the plan.
Right. And so if you're looking for details of a communication plan, I think that's already in the works, frankly.
Okay.
But you could put our June meeting there too to give some time for some debate on.
Sure, you want to do it? We're only two in right now, Trey. It could get real heavy.
We'll see. Right. No, I think the communications element's probably one of the more important aspects that feeds into a lot of these other issues. So.
Should that be part of Trey? All right, so we'll say June. And then in terms of the additional resources, are you looking at any human additional or financial?
There's other elements to the communications plan.
Okay.
So not only is it communications to the board, this is a very, very broad topic, it's communication. Yeah. At what point do you make the decision that you need to go communicate and do outreach to the communities? You know, and how do you decide that, and what rises to that level?
So this is specific, and we will get to that one because that's one that you guys identified. This is specifically on the community needs to see this for
CEPA. There's a misalignment.
Yep, exactly right. Okay. Yep. Okay. So human resources, any additional? Same? Nothing?
You probably know, but...
Yeah.
Wait. Well, I mean, part of this is... My utility is the only one that needs to work on making sure that our utility staff understands what our communication plan is about where to see them. So if no one else has an issue, then you can put me down for the right call.
Well, and in that regard, that'll come from Trey. That's not going to come from this part of the process, because ultimately it's for SEPA, and then it's his role to communicate with you guys. All right, so is it any additional human resources required for this?
No.
Financial? Okay. All right, next topic.
Next topic is, I think, break.
No, I mean,
it is break time.
It's break time. Okay, all right.
I was just wondering if we could add to the SEPA staff when they do the report for the board terms, if we could just add like previous terms, like who's held what position for how long, for maybe reference.
We're currently serving board members.
Just in the historic, too.